Imagine if today was the day your idea changed someone's life. Imagine if you could help someone pay for college, help your community build a new playground, or help a child make it to that dream competition. With GoFundMe, it's all possible. GoFundMe is the world's number one fundraising platform trusted by over 190 million people. Every week, ordinary people meet their goals and do extraordinary things. Your ideas matter. GoFundMe isn't just for emergencies. Want to raise money for your kid's soccer team or raise funds for a small business, a creative project, or event? GoFundMe helps you turn ideas into reality. And help adds up. Fundraisers you start for someone else raise up to 5 times more. So think right now, who could use your help? Change rarely comes from waiting. It comes from someone deciding, today I'll start. Don't wait for someone else to bring change. Today, start your fundraiser in just minutes at GoFundMe.com. That's GoFundMe.com to start your fundraiser. GoFundMe.com. This is a commercial message brought to you by GoFundMe.
At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
It's the dictionary.
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 Ba 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 do. Hello, word nerds. How are you doing today? My name is Spencer, and this is episode F215. What? Yay! We are on page 500, and I am hoping that we would have maybe had a guest in the previous episode. I don't know. I'm working on it. I've trying to reach out to a couple of people. All right, but we now have to finish the free section and get into another short little section. Our first word in this episode is freezer burn. Two words, noun from 1926. This is light-colored spots developed in frozen foods as a result of surface evaporation and drying when inadequately wrapped or packaged. So, if you do not adequately wrap up your freezer goods, the things that are going in the freezer, if they're a little bit too exposed to the elements, then they might get some freezer burn. And wow, I really need to do more talking before I record these. Let's see. Light-colored spots. I think the only thing that I remember getting freezer burn on is like, I don't know, fruit, ice cream, stuff like that. And then there's all of this ice that it gets formed. And I was always told that that was freezer burn. But I don't know if I've ever remember seeing light-colored spots on something that's freezer burned. I guess, you just make sure that your stuff is wrapped up good. And you'll probably be okay. All right. Now, I'm going to do a very sort of stereotypical kind of sound for my sound effect. It's a word. It's bonjour. Next, we have freezing point. Two words, noun from 1747. This is the temperature at which a liquid solidifies. So this is going to be a different temperature for different liquids. Water freezes at 32 Fahrenheit or 0 Celsius, but different liquids are going to freeze at warmer or colder temperatures depending on what that liquid is. Some things might never freeze. Let's see. Freezing point. I'm trying to find point of, let's see. Let's look up some good here. Mercury. What is the freezing point of mercury? Negative 37.89 degrees Fahrenheit, which is also negative 38.83 degrees Celsius. That is pretty cold. You got to get mercury very cold to freeze. Let's see. Any other? I mean, now lead. Is this right? the melting point of lead. No, I want the freezing point of things. All right, well, anyway, each one is going to have a different temperature, and that's all you need to know. The temperature at which a liquid solidifies becomes a solid. Bonjour. Next is free zone. Two words, noun from 1900. An area within which goods may be received and stored without payment of duty. You don't need to pay a duty, a tax, to store your stuff there in the free zone. Why? I don't know. Just the rules say that this is a free zone. It's free. Free of duty is what it is. Bonjour. Next is F region. The F is capitalized. Noun from 1923. This is the highest region of the ionosphere, occurring from 80 miles to more than 300 miles. So this is, I believe that would be 80 miles above the surface of the Earth, all the way to 300 miles above the surface of the Earth. It's that region of the ionosphere. For you non-American, mostly people, that converts to 130 kilometers above the Earth to 500 kilometers above the Earth. It's the F region. Things are different up there. The temperature is different. The pressure is different. And things behave differently up there in the F region. Bonjour. Now we have the word freight, F-R-E-I-G-H-T. It's the first form, noun from the 15th century, 1A. The compensation paid for the transportation of goods. So this is what you are paying. The compensation paid for, when you need your goods transported from point A to point B, you have to pay somebody. You have to pay them the freight to ship the stuff. Maybe it's the owner of the train, the driver of the train, the ship, the truck, the plane. You got to pay the freight. 1B, the synonym is cost, as in help pay the freight. Pretty similar to 1A. 2A, goods to be shipped. The synonym is cargo. So at some point, it became the stuff that you are actually shipping on the truck, plane, boat, train, any of those things. The stuff that you're putting on there is the freight. 2B, the synonyms are load and burden. Now we have 1C. The synonym is the... the synonym is the word significance, and another one is the third definition for the word meaning. So, interesting. The significance of a thing, the meaning of a thing, is the freight? And why is that all under the number one definition? Doesn't seem that similar to the price that you're paying or the thing that's being shipped. Oh, this is a thinker. That was all under two, actually. Two, but still, it doesn't make sense because 2A and B are the thing, the load, the cargo. So how is the meaning and the significance of a thing is the freight? Weird. 3A, the ordinary transportation of goods by a common carrier and distinguished from express. The ordinary transportation of goods is the freight. So just... The idea of sending goods around is freight. Is that what it is? But it's different than express. What is express? Express, is that not transporting goods? I don't know. 3B. A train designed or used for such transportation. And yes, of course, I have heard of the freight train. But I think there's other freight things. Mostly trains, I guess. The train, it's made, so the trucks, the cars on the train, they are made to store goods, hold things, whatever you gotta put on there. You gotta put logs, you gotta put coals, you gotta put children, you put them in the freight train. So the etymology is not very helpful. It's from the Middle Lower German Wracht or Wrecht, but it doesn't say what it means, so I guess it just means freight. Bonjour. Now we have the second form of freight, which is a transitive verb from the 15th century. You gotta freight your freight. 1A, to load with goods for transportation. The action of loading. We're freighting the freight train with our freight after you have paid the freight. 1B, the synonyms are burden and charge, as in freighted with memories. Wow. I'm confused, because charge, I think of a charge, a fee, a payment. But burden makes more sense with the example sentence of freighted with memories. I am burdened with memories. Oh, I got too many memories in my head. When I'm very, very old, I will be so freighted, so weighted down with memories. Good thing that I have a bad memory, and so most of them will be gone. Number 2, to transport or ship by freight. The action of freighting by freight. Very good. Bonjour. Freightage is next. This is a noun from 1694. The synonym is just freight. It's the stuff that you're shipping.
Bonjour.
Freighter. Noun from 1622. Number 1, one that loads or charters and loads a ship. The freighter is, they are the one who's chartering the ship, chartering the freight, or they're loading it. Either one, they're the freighter. The freighter. Why does that sound like something else? I can't think of it. Number 2, the synonym is shipper. Same thing. The one who is shipping the stuff, well, so you can hire the boat, you can load the boat or train, or you can be sending your stuff. All of those are freighters. And also number 3, a ship or airplane used chiefly to carry freight. So the literal thing that you are putting the goods on is also the freighter.
Bonjour.
Next is frematus, F-R-E-M-I-T-U-S. Frematus is a noun from 1862. This is a sensation felt by a hand placed on a part of the body that vibrates during speech. And an example of the part of the body would be the chest. So, this is the sensation of the vibration. So when I am speaking in my very rough voice right now, I put my hand on my chest while I'm speaking, and I feel the vibrations. I feel the vibrations on my chest, and that sensation of feeling the vibrations is frematus. What? This is a Latin word, which means murmur. From the verb fremere, which means to murmur. Murmur. Akin to the Old English word bremon, which means to roar.
Roar!
And it's frematus. Okay, this is definitely a new word to me. I like this word very much, and I'm feeling very raspy and stuff, so I have more vibrations. Where else? I could feel it on my throat. Much more vibrations on my throat.
I'm choking myself.
Okay. Moving on to bonjour, the French section. The first word is French. Now, it is a transitive verb often capitalized from circa 1895. This is just the word French getting into English was in 1895. Number 1, to trim the meat from the end of the bone of just a thing. An example of the thing would be a chop. The action, so this is a verb, this is the action of trimming the meat from the end of the bone, from off of the end of the bone. And that is called French. French the meat, French the chop. I don't know this, but I'm not a butcher. I have never been a butcher, never will be a butcher. Being a butcher is not part of my life goals. No butchering for me. So that's French. Okay, interesting. Number two, to cut in thin lengthwise strips before cooking. And an example of the thing that you might be cutting would be green beans. Seems like it would have been a meat example, but maybe you can do that too. Frenching. So this is a culinary term. French your beans, French your chop, French everything. Okay. Now, there is no etymology, so maybe we'll get that in the next word or two. But yeah, Frenching. Is it like making, doing, cooking food in a French style? Is this how the French like to have their chops and beans? I don't know. I don't know nothing. I don't know nothing about the cooking or the butchering. Bonjour! Now we have French again. This is the official first form because it has a capital F. It is an adjective from before the 12th century. Number one, of, relating to, or...
Imagine if today was the day your idea changed someone's life. Imagine if you could help someone pay for college, help your community build a new playground, or help a child make it to that dream competition. With GoFundMe, it's all possible. GoFundMe is the world's number one fundraising platform trusted by over 190 million people. Every week, ordinary people meet their goals and do extraordinary things. Your ideas matter. GoFundMe isn't just for emergencies. Want to raise money for your kid's soccer team or raise funds for a small business, a creative project, or event? GoFundMe helps you turn ideas into reality. And help adds up. Fundraisers you start for someone else raise up to 5 times more. So think right now, who could use your help? Change rarely comes from waiting. It comes from someone deciding, today I'll start. Don't wait for someone else to bring change. Today, start your fundraiser in just minutes at GoFundMe.com. That's GoFundMe.com to start your fundraiser. GoFundMe.com. This is a commercial message brought to you by GoFundMe.
Characteristic of France, its people, or their language. Any of those things. When you're talking about the country of France, the people who live in France, the language of French, all you're talking about Frenchy stuff. When your fries, your potato pieces are fried, they are now French because they're relating to the language of French. Two, of or relating to the overseas descendants of the French people. We're specifically talking about the overseas descendants, the people who have descended from the people from France, but they're not living in France. They're living in other parts of the world. Those people are French. Like in Montreal, Quebec, they're French because they are descended from the French people in France. Frenchness is a noun. Do you have some Frenchness in you? Yep. Because I like to say bonjour. But real quickly, I must say that this is from the Old English franca, which means frank or franc. That would be probably the people. So some of the people in that region at that time were the Franks, and maybe they settled in France, and they just kept the word, basically. Just changed some spelling and some pronunciation. Bonjour! Now we have the second form of French, noun from the 12th century. Both of these are very old. Number one, a Romance language that developed out of the vulgar Latin spoken in northern and central Transalpine Gaul, and that became the literary and official language of France. I know that it's one of those French Romance languages because French and Spanish and some of English and Italian come from Latin. They share a lot of those original words. The Vulgar Latin specifically, Northern and Central Transalpine Gaul. I guess, is that where France is now? Do I need to look up where this was? It's a very strange word. I mean, I've heard of Gaul before, G-A-U-L, but the other one? Let's see. Transalpine Gaul. Here we go. Let's look at the map. Well, Transalpine Gaul was a region of ancient Gaul located on the far side of the Alps from Rome, encompassing roughly what is now France, Belgium, parts of Germany, the Netherlands, and Switzerland. Let's look at the images. So, yeah, it's this section. I mean, it's largely where France is now, you know, with some strange borders. And then they were like, hey, this is our area, and we are French. We speak French. That's the language of the French people. And that's why, you know, in the bordering areas of Belgium and Switzerland and stuff, they do speak a bit of French. The borders and the languages and that whole area are weird, from Spain, France, Italy, Belgium, Switzerland, Germany. You know, like, part of Italy borders Germany, and so a lot of those people speak German. But, you know, when you go into the border of Switzerland over Italian, they're still speaking Italian a lot, and there's French too, and it's very, very silly. Languages are so silly. All right, now we've got number two for French. It would be plural. It is the French people are the French. So you don't need to say the Frenches. That might sound kind of weird to most people. Look at all those Frenches over there. Frenching, French kissing, making French fries, saying things like tout-a-fruit. Number three for French is strong language, as in the example, pardon my French. I have always wondered, why do we use the word French here when we're using strong languages like swears? Oh, confound it. Oh, sorry. Pardon my French. Excuse my French. Why French? Why French? Why French? If I find some information on that, I shall put it in the show notes. But, you know, it's just kind of one of those silly phrases that we say. All right, no more additional etymology there. So now we got to really get into the French section here, which is going to go well into the next episode. We've got bonjour, French bean, two words, noun from 1552. Number one is chiefly British, and so is number two. Number one, a bean, as a green bean, of which the whole young pod is eaten. You eat the whole pod of this green bean, and so it's a French bean. Don't know why it's called a French bean. Is that how the French eat it? But this is a British term. Number two, also chiefly British, the synonym is the number two definition for the word kidney bean. That's very different from the first one. A green bean with the peas and the pod all together, eaten all together, chomp, chomp, chomp. That's a French bean. But also a kidney bean is a French bean. And they're both chiefly British, so how do the British people know which one they're talking about? That's what I want to know. If you are British, which bean is a French bean to you? Do you even say French bean ever? Is this part of your life? The French bean. That French bean says, bonjour. Next is French bread. Oh, I could go for some French bread. Noun from the 15th century. I could go for all the bread right now. This is a crusty white bread baked usually in long, thin loaves. And I have literally seen people, French people, on the streets of France walking around with a French bread or a baguette sticking out of their bag because they're going to go probably sit in a park and eat some bread and drink some wine because you can do that. French bread. Yeah, just a long loaf of French bread. Maybe cut it into just rip it off and eat it. That's fine. Cut it into little pieces. Maybe put some olive oil on them and bake them. Maybe put some put some cheese and garlic on there, maybe bake the bread and put some tomato-y stuff on there to make a bruschetta. So many options of things you can do with a French bread. You can just stick it in your ear. Now we have Bonjour, French Bulldog. Noun from 1875. This is any of a breed of small, compact, heavy-boned dogs developed in France and having erect ears. And I shall post a picture of a French Bulldog. And I think we often just call them Frenchies. We've got a friend who has adopted quite a few Frenchies. She gets the older ones, the disabled ones, and takes care of them, because a lot of people won't do that.
Ha ha ha, bonjour!
French Canadian is next. Noun from 1758. One of the descendants of French settlers in Lower Canada. Lower Canada? What about Upper Canada? What about East and West? Where are the French Canadians? They're in Lower Canada? I don't know. French Canadian with a hyphen is an adjective. Who was it? Lewis and Clark, were they French? There were definitely some French people, and they were like, hey, this is a pretty cool country over here, land. It's, you know, got lots of trees and snow, and there's no guns, or there's a lot of guns, but people are cool with them. And there's free healthcare, so come over and become a French Canadian. And say things like, bonjour. Next is French chalk. Yeah, like the chalk that you write on the blackboard with. Noun from circa 1728. This is a soft, white, granular variety of steatite, used especially for drawing lines on cloth and for removing grease in dry cleaning. Didn't know that they had a special kind of chalk for drawing lines on cloth. You know, when they're like making their patterns, they gotta draw those lines. And I guess maybe French chalk comes off easily when it's washed or something. French chalk. But why is it French? Is it the chalk that the French were using when they were making clothes? Sure. Let's just say that. It's a fact now.
Bonjour!
French cuff. Noun from 1916. This is a soft double cuff, a double cuff, that is made by turning back half of a wide cuff band and fastening with cuff links. So it's soft. It's got to be soft. You want to make sure that your cuffs are soft. A double cuff that is made by turning back half of a wide cuff band. So you got a big cuff at the end of your sleeve. Maybe it's like this. And then you fold half of it, and then you fold half of it again. Is that why it's double? Oh, look at that French cuff he's wearing. Ooh, look at that French cuff. He's got some nice French cuff links to go in there with that French cuff. He's so fancy. Bonjour. French curve. Noun, often capitalized, from 1885. This is a curved piece of flat, often plastic material used as a guide in drawing curves. So maybe when the people are making the clothes, they're using a French curve to make curves and then drawing against that French curve with the French chalk. So many French words in the clothing world. The French cuff, too. A curved piece of flat, often plastic. Yeah, so there's probably like different types of curves, different angles, different thicknesses. What am I trying to say? Some are very tight curves, maybe, and some are big, wide curves. And they're all French curves. Okay, I'm so fascinated by this. Now, we have bonjour, French door, two words, noun from 1917. It is a door with rectangular glass panes extending the full length. And then also the synonym, French window. So a French door or a French window has rectangular glass panes that go the whole length from all the way to the top, all the way to the bottom. It's a French door. I guess, did I think that French doors were like two double doors that open together? But I guess specifically it's just any door or window that has glass panes from the top to the bottom. Okay. Did not realize that. And now we shall go to one more word.
Bonjour!
French dressing. Two words, the F is capitalized, just like all the other ones. Noun from 1876. Number one, a salad dressing made with oil and vinegar or lemon juice and spices. So wait, it would be oil and vinegar, or is it oil and lemon juice, or is it no oil and vinegar but lemon juice, and then also spices on top of that? Oil and vinegar or lemon juice. I don't know what the lemon juice is replacing. Just the vinegar or the oil and the vinegar. And then also spices. Okay, so that's one version of French dressing. Another version is number two, a commercial salad dressing that is tomato flavored and of creamy consistency. There was a time in my life where I was having a lot of French dressing. Anytime I had a salad or something, I don't know, I was just into French dressing at that time. And it was this second one, this tomato-flavored creamy French dressing. That is what I understand French dressing to be. But I guess maybe the proper French people, the proper foodies, are probably using this first one. Oil and vinegar or lemon juice and spices. That is a French dressing. That's what the French people call. They just call it dressing. They just call it dress. They don't call it French dressing. Nope. This is a pretty good, healthy dressing. Oil and vinegar? Spices? Maybe lemon juice? Much healthier than the alternative of the other French dressing or Thousand Island or Caesar Ranch. Oil and vinegar, so much healthier. All right, that was it, and now I shall reread you the words so we can come up with a word of the episode. The one that we think is the most important, the best one, the worst one, the one that jumps out at us, our favorite, our least favorite. Whatever it is, you can do it too. We had freezer burn, freezing point, free zone, F region, freight, freightage, freighter, frematis, French bean, French bread, French bulldog, French Canadian, French chalk, French cuff, French curve, French door, French dressing. So many French words. I think that I would like to pick frematis as the word of the episode. F-R-E-M-I-T-U-S. When I'm singing, I feel the vibrations in my chest. Boom, boom, da boom, boom, boom. The feeling of the vibrations is the frematis. Boom, 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 boom. That was way better than it should have been. I am now going to tell you about a movie that I watched. And I watched, again on the plane, the movie Here. This was based off of a graphic novel that I would like to read. It is by Robert Zemeckis, who has made a career of doing very interesting concept movies, usually with the technology of the day. He always uses technology to the best of its ability. He did Forrest Gump, and I think Roger Rabbit, and Back to the Future, and anyway, the list goes on. You know, I think Polar Express was in there, kind of a weird, but it was, you know, early motion capture CGI stuff. But anyway, it's basically many stories, multiple stories going on from one place. Static camera, one place, and I think it will help you to know that there are multiple stories that are going on. It mostly focuses on one story, one family, which you see come and go, but there's also these other families and stories and things, and, you know, all the way from dinosaur times to the 21st century. And, you know, just pay attention. I'm not going to tell you who the other stories are about, but they do intertwine at times. And, you know, my suggestion is just pay attention, because you're going to see them again. And they're all sort of connected and related, and it's all happening in one place. And I don't think it's probably gotten the best reviews, but I really liked it. I just like that out-of-the-box idea of there's sort of a plot going on, but it's more just like, this is what has happened here in this spot over these many years. And it's just like little vignettes that happen. You sort of come to, sometimes you just come in to the middle of a scene and there's not much of an end of a scene, and it just sort of flows freely from one to the next. And I liked it. I felt there were, not that it's a particularly unique story, but the main family that it focuses on, there were a lot of similarities to my family, my parents and their parents at that same time period. And, you know, it struck me because of that. So anyway, it's just a cool concept movie that I liked. And, you know, maybe you'll like it too if you like hearing what I had to say about it, I guess. Okay, that was the movie here. And right now here in this spot, I am going to say thank you so much for checking out this show. And until next time, this is Spencer standing here dispensing information. Goodbye.
Bonjour.
At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
Lowe's knows how to get you ready for holiday hosting with up to 35% off select home decor. And get up to 35% off select major appliances. Plus, members get free delivery, haulaway, basic installation, parts, and a 2-year Lowe's protection plan when you spend $2,500 or more on select LG major appliances. Valid through 10-1. Member offer excludes Massachusetts, Maryland, Wisconsin, New Jersey, and Florida. Installed by independent contractors. Exclusions apply. See Lowe's.com for more details.